Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we have Tracy Corbin Matchett, OAM CEO of Bus Stop Films.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
This week we've also got Kate, no letters after her name.
Yeah, Mandy, zero letters after her name.
It's a cold, rainy day in Melbourne, but I am very excited to talk to our amazing guests.
Yes. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Here is TCM OAM, or Taco, as my kids have been calling me.
So cute.
And I'm coming in from a very sunny day in the Shire.
Can you hear my I saw somewhere today they're like, there's bushfire warnings. And I'm like, it's such a big country, you know, because it's pouring with rain. We've got flooding in Melbourne, Victoria. And,
And you got beautiful sunshine.
Mm-mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Well, we're going to start with our questions to find out all about you.
Yes. So our first question is, do you have a song that you love or a band that you love or you listen to, like, in the good times or maybe in the bad times?
Well, I was a little bit of a metal wench back in the day in high school. Love my glam rock and eyeliner.
Bit of guy liner. I love a bit of guy liner. Oof.
Oh, I love it when my husband, like, I see photos and he used to have eyeliner and the kids are embarrassed.
No, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Love it. Mm. I have a bit of a collection because I have like a song for me and a song for hubby and a song for all the kids.
Oh. So, yeah, tell us.
I'm Tiny Dancer because I am little. I'm only 5 foot. Love that. It's from one of my favourite movies, Almost Famous.
Yep.
Elton John.
It's a great song.
Yeah, such a great song in that scene where they're just singing along together on the bus.
Have you seen the person who thought it was Tony Danza?
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Probably was me in the beginning. Bittersweet Symphony, The Verve, which is hubby and I's song together.
Oh, that is a really good song. I listened to that this afternoon.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a beautiful song. Little Ray of Sunshine for my firstborn, Aurora, which is the first ray of light of the dawn.
I was gonna say,
And Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Aerosmith, which is for my beautiful daughter Sage, which was really popular when she was born in 2004, and she was a kid that was in and out of hospital. And I used to say to her, "Don't, I didn't want to fall asleep because what if something happened to her?"
Yeah, don't want to miss a thing.
And
great songs.
Great songs, and the only exception, Paramore, for my little son Zahn, because he was the only exception. I thought I was done with two.
Wrong.
Wrong. So wrong. And then little third child pops up to say g'day. And the final one, Flame Cheese, Cold Chisel. Like, can't miss a bit of Barnsley.
No.
Yeah. You can't. You got great taste.
Belt that song out when
yes.
it comes on.
Yes. Mm. Now, obviously, you're an OAM, but did you win any awards in primary school or high school or?
Did I win any awards? I think I won. Yeah, I'm such a dork. I won nothing for sport.
Yep.
Was always picked last in the team.
Yeah, been there.
But I won lots of community service awards.
Oh, that's not dork. That's been kind. Yes. Nice.
Yeah, I think I did get a certificate for bringing flowers for the classroom, which was really funny.
Yeah.
Well, it sort of set you up to be the person you are. It sounds like you've always had a heart for people.
I absolutely have. So, yeah, very much so.
So are we going to talk about the OAM here or are we going to?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the OAM
and
here.
And what
yeah.
is the OAM for?
So I got my OAM for services to people with disability and to the arts.
And when did you get that?
I got that on the King's Birthday Honours this year.
Oh, wow, fresh. It's new.
Very new, it's very shiny. And I was actually nominated by one of our students from Bus Stop Films, which was just so lovely, so lovely. Ricky, who's a beautiful student from our Wollongong program, nominated me.
Oh, that's just so meaningful.
So meaningful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think you and Lee Sales are the only people I've ever met that have one. So two amazing women.
Yes.
Loving in the comparison of Lee Sales.
I reckon. And our last and favourite question, why are you a P or part of the P community?
I'm part of the P community because I'm hard of hearing and live with disability myself. And my eldest daughter, Aurora, my little ray of sunshine, is deaf. So I've been part of the disability community for 21 years now. So I've been active in this space my whole life, but in terms of being part of that disability community, yeah.
When did you have your hearing loss?
I started to lose my hearing in my late 30s. Mm. I likely always had hearing loss because Aurora and I have the same pattern of hearing loss. It's just at a more significant level, which I just put down, you know, I'm from an Italian background. We're loud, and then I went and got my hearing tested, and Aurora came with me.
Aww.
And she said, "Okay, Mum, it's not over.
Beautiful get girl."
Yes.
And does Aurora have hearing aids or an implant?
She's had hearing aids since she was a little kid. So an exceptional young adult now. 21.
Oh, wow.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
My husband has a severe hearing loss, so we understand in our family too.
Oh, fantastic. Aurora was 2 when she was diagnosed with hearing loss, and it was a new journey for us. Mm. And she got hearing aids when she was in primary school. And it was funny at the time because my child number 2 was in and out of hospital with lots of medical complications. And I kind of, as you do, I was like, did I miss that?
Yeah. Totally, we understand.
Yep.
At 2, noticing Aurora standing sideways to the TV with the good ear and then going, okay, there's something going on here, getting her hearing tested, and they're like, yeah, she's got severe hearing loss. Mm. I was like, oh, my God, I've missed that. I've been too busy focused on keeping this one alive.
Of course.
But this one's got a hearing loss. So Aurora was 2, and I sadly was told to raise her as a hearing child. So we didn't start to learn Auslan until she was about 16, which I really wished I knew now. And we would have learned Auslan way back then.
So many opinionated people that tell us so many things. And I think I can only speak for myself, but as a person who has no study in the area of you know, my children's diagnosis, I was like, oh, well, they must know. So then it takes you a while to go, hang on, I can do what works for our family.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because of child number two's, you know, shopping list of medical conditions and being in and out of that hospital environment for so long. I remember someone said to me, are you a nurse? I'm like, no, I've just had to learn it.
Yes.
Like, I didn't know about kidney reflux and all these other.
I had kidney reflux as a child.
Yeah. So you learn it because it becomes your life. You live in this environment of medical terminology and medical life. I always say to Sage, who's child number two, you know, I spent more time in hospital with her than I have on holidays because we lived.
Of course.
And now amazing young adults in their own right.
Yeah. And so did you already work in disability or when did you start working in disability?
I did volunteer work with disability when I was at uni, like 100 years ago when I was doing my Bachelor of Community Welfare, but my background is in social housing and women's legal services. So I worked at Housing New South Wales in community development and frontline work, working with you know, people with complex housing needs. And then I was the state manager of the Women's Domestic Violence Court Assistance Program here in New South Wales.
Wow, that's a heavy job.
Yeah, heavy job, which I loved.
Mm.
But as mums do, when you've got a child with complex health needs, you have to go.
Yeah, what do I do?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to leave my job at Legal Aid and then I got a job at the ATO. Love the ATO.
Look, we've all interacted with the ATO.
We sure have.
We're all Australians for tax purposes,
yeah,
aren't we?
Well.
Yeah, well. We do love them. No, I worked in a great team. It was a job at the ATO. They were literally at the top of my street.
Oh,
I worked in
convenient.
Community engagement, a great team. You know, sometimes you've got to do a job to put food on the table.
Oh, you do. Absolutely. That is the truth.
Admirable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just couldn't continue to work at that level in domestic violence at a policy level with that many staff and manage a statewide program while trying to parent a child with complex health needs.
Mm. Yeah.
And as Sage got older and more resilient and we were able to manage her situation better, I was able to go, okay, I can get my career back on track and was working at Screen New South Wales in policy. In stakeholder engagement, and that's where I met Genevieve Claysmith, the co-founder of Bustalk Films, and got about this amazing organisation. And yeah, I came on board the bus, and
I'm
still
here. All about it.
All right,
where can you start?
Can you tell us about the beginning of Bustalk Films, then, and then we'll meander through.
Absolutely. So Bustalk Films was started by two exceptional women, Genevieve Claysmith and Eleanor Winkler, as producer and director. And they created a beautiful short film called Be My Brother, which Eleanor produced and Jen directed and wrote. And they made it inclusively with young adults with intellectual disability and Down syndrome. And that film that they just sort of started and they crafted together in a friend's lounge room way back in 2009, it won TropFest, which at the time was the biggest, you know, short film festival in the world.
Mm.
And Jared O'Dwyer, the lead actor, amazing actor with Down syndrome, won Best Actor. And
wow, that, goosebumps.
Goosebumps, like absolute turning point. And then Genevieve, because she's just a beautiful human.
How did they fund that? Did they just fund it themselves?
They just funded it themselves.
Oh.
Bit of philanthropy. And then Genevieve crafted Bustalk Films together with Eleanor, and she ran it as CEO voluntarily. And, you know, it kind of grew from a friend's lounge room to Sydney Community College, and they found some resources to develop a curriculum, like a full 40-week curriculum of accessible film studies. And that was, you know, nearly 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's grown and it's such an integral part of the ecosystem of the screen industry. I came on board in 2018 when it was just in Sydney and it had just moved to the Australian Film, Television and Radio School. And now we have close to 180 young adults with intellectual disability or autism learning filmmaking with us across the country. So that's 18 classes in 10 locations in 7 states, which is just amazing.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing. And we partner with film schools. So the students film school experience. So they're learning filmmaking on campus alongside other young adults doing their Bachelor of Screen Media, I always say our participants are equally hungover. They're online shopping. They've got troubles. Just like the other students
like,
on the
campus.
They just happen to have intellectual disability or autism.
Yeah.
And through that program, the process is learning filmmaking, but it's also those transformational skills of confidence, social connection, taking direction, improved literacy, turning up on time, working in a team. Each of the classes makes a short film. So we just, this year we'll make 18 short films, which is an amazing feat of logistics.
And where do you show them?
Each of the films is screened at our end of year showcase events. So we'll have 7 of those across the country. And then we enter the films into festivals. And literally every week, Bus Stop Films screens somewhere around the world. Oh. I think this is screening in Spain. On the weekend, we screened in Gympie. You know. And pretty amazing. And the films are beautiful. They're really high quality. They don't always show disability on screen, and that's because the story comes from the ideas that the young people want to make. Mm. And sometimes, you know, they just want to make a wrestling rock musical with an LGBTIQ theme.
Yeah.
Other times they want to explore, you know, a kitchen drama. They're really diverse. But that's from the ideas. They're always made by people with disability, but they might not always feature disability as a storyline. That's what they want to make.
Yeah.
And then often they get picked up for broadcasts on ABC or SBS or, you know, other channels. And where we can, we can't always afford to, but where we can, we'll often send a student to that festival to introduce the film and walk the red carpet. So on the weekend, amazing student Ashley Kuhl went to Gympie with her family and introduced the film there at the Heart of Gold Film Festival.
Oh.
And amazing, because that's what filmmakers do.
Yes.
It's so brilliant. And aside from that, we really work to support participants into employment.
Yeah, okay.
Green industry and commercial production and on TV shows. And we also work with the screen industry to build confidence in them in employing people with disability so that they feel confident and we're creating those culturally safe workplaces. So that's a huge part of what we do as well. So, yeah.
So if someone joins, how long do they stay with? Like, is it full time? Is it?
Well, our program is a rolling program. So we've had participants with us the whole 15 years.
Right.
And yeah, which is really lovely because it's about that sense of community.
Yes.
And that, so that is fantastic. And the program is weekly classes, generally on a weekend, because that's when we can get space in the universities that we deliver. And it's also that the tutors that we work with are amazing filmmakers in their own right. And during the week, they're often working on their own commercial product.
Right.
And it's also, you know, as I'm sure you appreciate, we work with a community that often relies on mum and dad or other forms of get to initiatives, so programs. And it's independent learning. There are no assessments. There's no homework. We're not an RTO.
Perfect.
We, you know, that takes the pressure off, which is really fantastic. And each year you're doing a different film project. So it's like a gym, training your creative muscles. So participants have been with us 15 years because this is a community.
They love
filmmaking. They have that friendship and that connection and that safe community around them coming to Bus Stop Films, and that's quite lovely.
Mm. I found out about you at the Special Olympics National Games in Launceston last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this looks incredible. And that whole week was incredible. So it actually just changed my life a little bit being a part of that week because my daughter's an athlete. And I thought, oh, this would be fabulous for her friends. She's got a friend who loves hair and makeup.
Oh, yes,
all that design.
Be fabulous
and
for
I
them.
Just thought, this is the greatest. We need to find out about it. Mm. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you. It's really lovely. We just filmed in Launceston on the weekend and it was pretty amazing with our team there. That was their first film project and it was so wonderful to be part of it. Absolutely.
So do you travel around or do you – what is your role?
So as CEO, my role is around advocacy and strategic partnerships and finding the resources to keep the bus on the road. So I do a lot of advocacy in terms of the screen industry, presented our work to the Disability Royal Commission, spoke about the impact of film, TV on the lives of people with disability in terms of an advocacy piece, what we see on screen and the nuances of authenticity and dispelling myths and showcasing disability in all its forms is pretty powerful. Yeah. Film is the most, such a powerful medium for social change. Mm. I do travel around. I don't produce the films. I leave that to my amazing colleague, Diana, our CEO and resident producer. I just pop up with ideas for key talent, and I'm always up for the ask. So on the weekend we got to work with Reese Muldoon. He's an amazing
Yes.
He lives Aussie. And so, you know, I'm always the one that's reaching out for the ask, you know, how we got to work with Miguel Mestre and Daniel McPherson, you know, connecting into star talent. And really spreading the message of bus stop films. Mm. And I love lobbying.
Oh, wow. Good on
I'm
you.
I'm always up for writing a letter to a politician.
Are you?
Pointing out a piece of policy I think needs to change.
Oh, this is why you have this job. What a woman.
So my bugbear or my thing I want to get changed at the moment is that job access, which is an amazing part of government service provision around disability employment, it can only be the services it delivers, which are brilliant, can only be unlocked if the job is for 8 hours, 8 hours over 13 weeks, or a TV commercial that's 1 or 2 days, or a TV show shoot that
can't
goes
for work.
Doesn't work. Oh. So that means that the whole screen industry, commercial production industry, as the employer, can't access those services. So it makes it harder for them to employ disability, but it also makes it easier for them to say, "Oh, we can't."
Yeah, they've got to cop
out. We can't afford it because we can't get the wage subsidy, or we can't get the support to make our location accessible, or the support to deliver training to our staff to make them more disability confident. So I'm lobbying government, and I took this to the Disability Royal Commission. I've spoken to the Secretary of Social Services and emailed and messaged and met with many politicians to say, "You need to change the way job access looks at work within the gig economy framework," because the screen industry, TV commercials, TV shows, there's so many jobs. There's so many.
Yes.
They employ so many people, and they can and should be employing more people with disabilities. You know, who is behind the camera really impacts what we see on screen.
Yes.
We need to make it equitable that retail, hospitality, manufacturing, administration can all access these great supports to employ people with disability, but the screen industry can't because of the way our industry works. So,
and it's so visible.
So visible. So that's a stroke of pen change I'm trying to get.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So do you do like get heaps of people to write, or is it all on you?
I'm encouraging others to write. Mm. I've had a bit of media around it. Our Screen Producers Association is lobbying with me as well, because it will enable many producers in Australia, the landscape, the production companies are mum and dad companies. They're small to medium businesses. They're not all the big Disney marvels.
Yeah.
So they love to be employing people with disability, but they are also small businesses that have budgets and overheads. And we need to make it easier for them to employ people with disability for them as business owners, but also for the greater good.
Yes.
We know that our stories don't often show people with disability, or if they do, it's not always positive.
Mm-mm.
But there's also there's a labour force shortage in the screen industry for skilled employers, particularly in that post-production and editing, and where sometimes neurodiversity really fits into that role.
Mm.
It'd be better equipping employers to employ people with disability and opening up employment opportunities for people with disability in the screen industry with a bit of massaging around that job access policy.
Yeah, you're right about someone with such a great skill in editing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
incredible skills. So yeah. When you say, you know, I'm going to lobby this, what is this like a 5-year campaign? Like how long does something like this take to change?
I'm hoping I can get it changed in the next 2 years.
Okay.
For me, you know, there's a review of the DES system, disability employment system, happening at the moment, and the current framework ends in 2025.
Right.
And really I think it's time that we look at what does employment look like in 2023. And when Job Access was launched in 2006, the screen industry wasn't considered as a place for employment for people with disability by Job Access. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't actually considered a place for employment for people with disability by the sector. So the sector wasn't thinking about it either.
Yeah.
For me, if time to that review of the DES system, the disability employment system, we could look at what does work look like in 2023. And COVID's changed things, and work from home and the gig economy and freelance and independence, also self-employment for people with disability, that we look at different measures of success of what a job, having a job means. And in the screen industry, it's really about a consistent pipeline of work rather than a constant pipeline of work. People that don't have disability generally don't work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 as a camera operator. That's not how
it works.
Grew up for projects, do the project and then crew down.
Which probably suits some people with disabilities, their fatigue, all of that sort of stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Can we do anything? Can we write? Yes. Can we like send
our
us
listeners
send us
love
links
this
and
stuff.
Keep us posted because we will constantly update.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in terms of lobbying, it would be just to raise it with Amanda Rishworth, who's the minister, who's in your orbit, Department of Social Services, that it's unfair. And what's really going to move the needle on attitudes to disability from the wider community is being able to see disability. We're creatures of comfort.
Yep.
We all have these things, these phones,
lots
of content.
Yeah.
See more people with disability employed, you know, it really is so powerful. And for that equity of all industries to be able to employ people with disability and also have support, I think it's really fair. For me, I think that would be amazing. It's not going to solve everything. It's just going to create a level playing field for employers.
Yeah, of course.
Nothing solves everything.
So you're a parent or you're a young adult with a disability and you're thinking, how do I access Bus Stop Films? What are some of the things we have to do to get involved?
Absolutely. So Bus Stop Films, we will open enrolments for our program shortly, so the end of the year in October for 2024. They can go on the wait list so that we'll let them know when enrolments open. When enrolments open, we always have a one-to-one interview with the participant to make sure they're right for the program and the program is right for them, and just to ensure that they're aware of what it entails. And then programs kicks off in February every year across the country. So next year will be 21 locations, including we will add Gold Coast, Coffs Harbour and Southern Sydney.
That's amazing.
I know, pretty exciting. And then the following year in 2025, we'll add Cairns, Darwin and Hobart to the mix.
Brilliant. How do you fund this?
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing program.
Do people pay for the course?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ah. So there is fees associated. They can use participants can use their NDIS program. That's our Accessible Film Studies program, and that's aimed at people that have mild to moderate intellectual disability or autism. Our Bus Stop Employment Service is open to anyone with disability, deaf, disabled, neurodivergent, seeking work in the screen industry, and they can join that at any time.
Right.
And that's that's about, you know, getting their CV up to date, their interview skills ready, unpacking how does the screen industry work, you know, do you need an ABN, how do you invoice, how do you network, and looking at really specific skills that could be, you know, determined by their interest. You know, is it hair and makeup, is it camera, is it sound, is it post-production and editing, and, you know, getting them great opportunities. In the last 6 months, we've worked with participants working on TV commercials for major brands. We've got participants working on Neighbours, participants working in feature films, and we're really clued in to the screen industry.
Awesome.
And we're not a DES provider, but what we can do is through our networks connect participants into employment opportunities. Through our great relationships with production companies, and we have staff across the country supporting bus stop employment. And it's really amazing to see the photos come back through. You know, we had a participant working on a TV commercial for Optus and Apple this last week, and that was really great to see them, you know, hair and makeup.
Aww.
Other participants, you know, working with the camera team on Neighbours, like amazing opportunities. Mm. It's just really brilliant. So,
and friendships and meeting new people and all that sort of stuff, a place to belong.
We've had our first bus stop engagement this year.
That sounds like really special.
Jamie, one of our long-term students, Joni, and her partner, Seamus.
That's
just
best.
Really lovely. So great friendships, great connections.
Yes.
And that's why participants come back year in, year out. And we've got great staff as well.
Awesome wedding video.
Oh, yeah, you have the best.
I know, it better be. It's just really lovely being on set on the weekend and watching the students work shoulder to shoulder, mentee-mentee relationship with industry professionals, you know, giving notes to extras on acting or setting up frames with the camera team. They're so skilled. And then speaking to parents, I spoke to a parent on the weekend, and they just said, thank you so much. This program has changed my son's life.
Of course.
You know, when you find your tribe.
Yes.
Yep.
On something you love.
Yep.
And it is so important to have a reason to get out of bed in the morning, a community where you feel welcomed and to do something you really enjoy.
Yes.
Not every one of the students will work in the screen industry.
No.
But they will take something from the program that will enhance another part of their life. And whether that's having a friendship, traveling independent to class, getting a job somewhere else, but taking those skills around, turning up on time, taking direction, or just being really proud of something that you make creatively and contribute. There's something in it for everyone, and it is so lovely. I cry a lot because I just
bet
get
you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think movies and TV shows are a way that I know, especially for my daughter with cerebral palsy and an intellectual disability, she can get into Marvel. We watched every Marvel movie in lockdowns with her sister and her dad, and that was something they could do together and to belong and wear all her, you know, Groot T-shirts and all that stuff. And then when we go out, people go, oh, I love Groot, or I love Marvel, or Spider-Man, or Star Wars, and all those sort of things that have all those cult followings are so important to our community because it's something they can join in with pretty easily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the participants are total cinephiles. They know what type of lens that George Lucas shot Star Wars. They just know so much information. And others just love the art of filmmaking or the connection or the creativity. You know, some of the participants look really just want to wear be in costuming or that creative set design or hair and makeup or have the clipboard of power and be the assistant director.
Of course.
That's what I want. I want the clipboard of power.
Telling everyone where they need to be, on what time, and keeping that set running.
Yes.
And it's amazing to see the students shine when they come into their own and they've found something they really enjoy. And often, you know, we might be like, oh, no, I really want to do camera. I'm not going to do hair and makeup. And we rotate. And then they try hair and makeup and go, oh, that was so much fun. I didn't know I would enjoy that. So really brilliant process to be part of. And then when we see the films in the showcase events and then screening around the world, it's just like, oh, so exciting to be part of it.
I feel like the world's your oyster. Like we're ready, overdue. You know, the movie champions that came out, and we watched it together with our Special Olympics athletes, all basketballers, athletic swimmers, and that whole sitting in that audience with all people with intellectual disabilities watching a movie made for them. It was just magic.
Yeah, it's a game changer when you can see your community on the screen. Mm-hmm. Coming from you here in the Shire today, and I remember it distinctly in year three when Puberty Blues came out.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I know where that is.
Yes.
Speech. Just this moment that, oh, my gosh, they can actually make movies about your community and where you come from. It's just like a wow thing. And my daughter Aurora is now 21, and when she was younger, I had no deaf content to show her. It was Children of a Lesser God. Love Marley. She is the queen.
Yes.
But like a little kid, that's not a film
no.
for you. And it was just such a lovely moment when we watched Coda together because see our, deaf
family.
Culture.
Yeah.
Family, it is a really defining moment.
It is.
When you can connect with your culture and your community. My mum's family is Italian, and I love seeing the Italian culture on screen and watching movies. And it's such a big connection when you can see the community that you represent on screen.
Yes. Oh, yeah, such a huge thing. I know my dad has passed away now, but he was Irish. And so the Irish Film Festival would come, or, Derry Girls I'm obsessed with, and it's like they're the voices of my cousins and this is the stories that I've heard my whole life but I'm removed from in Australia. And it's just so important, and I get really emotional about it. Just, representation matters.
Oh, yeah, it so does. It so makes a huge difference to how we feel about ourselves and that connection of seeing ourselves represented in advertising or in news stories or in broadcast, and done in a respectful, authentic way.
Yep.
So you said there's more places opening up, but is there bigger dreams for Bus Stop Films?
Oh, absolutely. I want world domination.
Yes.
She says with a maniacal smile.
Yeah. And the clipboard of power.
With the clipboard of power. No, I leave that bit to the filmmakers. We are in late development of our first ever feature film, which we hope to make next year. And that will include a fully inclusively made long form film. We've cast a beautiful young actor Olivia Hagrota, who attends our Brisbane program, in that lead role in the feature film Baby Cat, which is really exciting. And I would love to take the bus to Hollywood. Our plan to take it to LA to showcase what we're doing over here in Australia in terms of inclusive filmmaking. Hollywood is the home of the screen industry. And next year the Oscars will be inclusive for the first time. So to be eligible for Best Picture, the production had to have met a lot of criteria about inclusion, which is really exciting. So we want to head over there. So we're gathering resources as much as we can at the moment.
Yeah. Can you keep coming back year after year?
Yes, of course you can. And it is a great post-school option.
Yeah.
And some students have used stepping stone to TAFE to do entertainment studies, and some have gone on to university.
Yeah.
And also we've had some people come the other way that have tried university and TAFE. It's not for them. They come to Bus Stop, and because we don't have exams, we don't have assessments, it's that pressure is taken off.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And it is, we're so recognised now that participants can use that as a great stepping stone to employment. And the fact that they can come back year in, year out.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Ready, and you've done it enough times, awesome. If you want to keep coming back and there's that sense of community and connection, that's okay.
That's something so incredible to know, because I think when you think we're leaving school, okay, we're losing that community. Mm. We're very nervous about where to go next, but that we don't actually have to leave, because, we have to leave hospital at 18. Yep. We have to leave school at 18. And then, leave
your
paediatrician.
Your OT, everything.
Yeah. Mm. So to know that there is a future that you don't actually have to leave, I don't know if people know that.
It is really lovely, and it is, Jared and Audrey, a few of our participants, have been on board with us for the long haul. We are developing at the moment an initiative called Places, which will be like an alumni program.
Ah, great.
All those participants that have done the program 15 years, or just, they're at a skill level or a capacity level, it's just a little bit higher than our regular program, but not quite ready for TAFE or university, or that's not going to meet their needs, but gives them what do they come to Bus Stop for. It's around that, professional filmmaking experience, the leadership side of things that that creativity, that social connection and the employment things, that's what they come for. But we just want to, and we're working with some of our long-term participants to co-design that at the moment. So it's really going to be led from them and make to be able to craft an alumni program that is just on a bit of a higher level. Because there'll be some participants for whom our Accessible Film Studies program will continue to provide a really brilliant experience. Our oldest participant is 50. Oh. And while she's been doing the program for a number of years, yes. And it really about that sense of community. And it's not like they're, you know, the same thing every day, every year.
Yeah.
The film project is different. One year you're doing documentary, you're doing comedy, then you're doing a drama. Mm-hmm. So they're learning different skills and they're doing it within an environment where they feel safe and secure and welcome.
Oh, yeah, and meeting new people constantly.
Yep.
Yeah. So awesome.
Oh, brilliant. We could keep talking to you all day. But is there anything that we've missed that you want to tell the world?
I just think watch a Bus Stop Films film. There's a lot you can watch on ABC or SBS or even on our socials. Consider if you're a filmmaker, consider casting authentically, storytelling. And for people with disability, you know, the screen industry is very exclusive. Someone once described it to me as it's like Wagyu beef. It's expensive for a reason, so only a certain amount of people can afford it.
Yeah.
Just a horrible analogy. But it really is an industry that has so many jobs and there's a job for for anyone. And many of us would not consider working. I never thought I would work in film and TV.
No.
From the world that I grew up in.
Yeah.
But it is an industry that employs a lot of people, and it's not just a glitz and glam of Hollywood on screen. It's a legitimate pathway to employment, and it's a fun, engaging pathway to employment as well. So, yeah, get on board the bus.
Oh, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
OAM.
Dame TCM.
Dame TCM.
Dame Taco. Yeah, oh, it's amazing. You. Kids are such levelers.
Oh, yeah.
That is what they were born to do, to level.
You get nothing.
No.
Oh. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
we
you,
learned
thank you.
A lot. Yeah, I know our listeners cool. are going to love this episode. And let's
you.
Hope your numbers explode in people, you know, coming to find out about Bus Stop Films and get the bus to Hollywood.
Yep. And get that lobbying chain.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's been great.
Yes, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Mandy and Kate. Oh. It was lovely to chat to you.
Oh, thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.